Luke chapter 21, verses 1 through 4. This is the reading of God's word. As he looked up, Jesus saw the rich putting their gifts into the temple treasury. He also saw a poor widow put in two very small copper coins. I tell you the truth, he said, this poor widow has put in more than all the others. All these people gave their gifts out of their wealth, but she, out of her poverty, put in all she had to live on. Amen. Please be seated. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this precious time of hearing your word. Grant us an ear to hear your word, so that our faith will grow and will be more and more like your Son, Jesus Christ. Through your word, let us have that sweet fellowship with our Lord Jesus Christ. And through your word, let us see what he has done and what he has accomplished for us. Bless us that your word will be preached correctly, and all of us, not only hear, but also understand and believe and obey. Let us bring glory and honor to you in all things that we do. We thank you, and we give you all the glory. Pray all this in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, through the book of Luke, what we are witnessing is that our Lord came as a man, but at the same time, he's always God. And he is accomplishing the kingdom of God. But we already saw that Jewish leaders and some of the Jews, they do not believe in Jesus Christ and they reject the kingdom of God that our Lord is accomplishing. They understand the Bible only in terms of this world. And they desire the power of this world and the recognition of this world. See, they live to fulfill their greed for the things of this world. Their desire for the wealth and the glory of this world is their God. Obviously, they love this world and they love themselves. So they hate God. They hate loving God with all their hearts and with all their soul and with all their will and with all their mind. And they obviously belong to this world. They are definitely not the citizens of the kingdom of God. Because the true citizens of God deny themselves and take up their crosses daily and follow Jesus Christ. And when they don't do that, they repent. See, for Jesus Christ and his gospel, the true citizens of God, the citizens of kingdom of God, they give all they have. They know what they are. They are the servants of all, thus they serve all people. So we, in our passage, we meet such a person who is truly a citizen of heaven, a poor widow. So we begin our passage, verse 1 and 2. And he, meaning Jesus, looked up and saw the rich putting their gifts into the treasury. And he saw a poor widow putting in two small copper coins. So Jesus sees the rich putting their gifts, and he also sees a poor widow putting her gifts or gift. The rich, of course, gave a lot. I mean, obviously. Mark chapter 12 has the same story, and in Mark 12, verse 41, we read this. Jesus sat down opposite the place where the offerings were put and watched the crowd putting their money into the temple treasury. Many rich people threw in large amounts. So Mark actually tells us that they gave a lot. Many rich people gave in large amounts. Now, these rich people are being contrasted with a widow, poor widow. She only gave two small copper coins. Mark says two small copper coins worth only a fraction of a penny. Now, we do not know exactly how much in today's currency these two copper coins are worth, but we could confidently conclude that these two coins were in very small value. So we have, on one hand, the rich people, they gave a lot. On the other hand, a widow, she gave two copper coins. Now, to this world, the rich gave a lot. I mean, obviously. And the widow gave a very little. But here's the point. Our Lord Jesus Christ sees it differently. He doesn't see it the way that the world sees. So we go to verse 3 and 4. And he, Jesus, said, "Truly I say to you, this poor widow put in more than all of them. For they all, out of their surplus, put into the offering, but she, out of her poverty, put in all that she had to live on." Jesus says that the poor widow put in more than all the rich people. Now, when the world hears that, they will just scoff at that. Because obviously the rich people gave more. And yet Jesus says, no, poor widow gave more than all of these people. And this widow, our passage says, a poor widow. The word which has been translated as a poor, it describes not just being poor, but in need of help from the other people poor. Very poor. And look at this widow, if you could picture her. Nobody cares. No one cares. No one recognizes her. She just comes in quietly and she goes out quietly. No one considers her important. But look what's happening in our passage. Who recognizes her? Who acknowledges her? Well, our Lord Jesus Christ. He acknowledges her. On the other hand, the rich, they gave a lot of money, and the world recognized them. World acknowledges them. The world considers them important. The world, and even many people in the church will say about these rich people, the church cannot function without these people. The church cannot survive without these people. However, who gave more according to Jesus Christ? Who has done well according to Jesus Christ? Jesus says the widow gave more. To this widow, it really does not matter who considers her important. It does not matter who acknowledges her. She just pours out all she has. She pours out her love to God. And this is what we need to understand today, the principle of God. The rich people, according to verse 4, they all, out of their surplus, they give a lot. Of course, the amount of the offerings they gave are indeed large. But compared to what God has given them, they actually gave a little. $10,000 from $1 million is large. It is larger than $100 from the person who only has $100. Here's $10,000 and here's $100. Way larger. But 10,000 from a million is just 1 out of 100. Thus, compared to how much it is left, it is not that much. But $100 from the person who only has 100 is 100%. Is everything that person has. And this is how our God sees. According to this sinful world, the two copper coins are of no value. They would actually say, what can we do with these? But the God's perspective is much different than this world's perspective. And what kind of perspective should the church have? How should we see? Well, 1 Samuel chapter 16, verse 7b, the Lord does not look at the things man looks at. Man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. The rich, they gave out of their surplus, gave out of so much that they have, gave after they have spent all they wanted, even after giving. This is the point. Their lives are not that much affected by the amount of their offerings. Actually, there is no sacrifice. But the widow, she gave all she had. If we see it this way, what does God see is not how much one gives, but how much is left after one gives. So you gave a lot, but after that, you still have so much. What's the sacrifice? And anybody who has that much, they could do that without any hesitation. It doesn't cost them much. But the world just looking at the amount, and they're just, it's large. That's how the world sees it. But our church should never see it that way. The rich gave a lot according to this world. But it is not much sacrifice for them. But the widow gave a little according to this world. But she sacrificed a lot. And our church must see exactly how our God sees. We cannot see anything in the perspective of this sinful world. So who gave more according to you? What do you say? Are you so impressed that rich people gave a lot of money? See, the rich gave out of their surplus. The widow gave out of her poverty, put in all that she had to live on. All that she had to live on, the Greek word that is translated as all that she has to live on, the Greek word is bios, bio, biology. It means life. She gave all of her life. See, not everyone is able to do this. In fact, only very few people can do this. Because without faith, no one is able to do this. And it's not just faith. It has to be strong faith. One who believes that all that we have, God gave all of that to us. Thus, ultimately, all those things are not ours, but they belong to God. And that's what Christians confess. Everything belongs to God, but they don't act like it. They don't live like it. It's just lip service. Because in their heart, it's all theirs. It's not God's. When one believes all the things that he owns belongs to God. But see, those people who believe that everything they own belongs to himself, then it is impossible to give all to God. No way. And we don't knows that God gives what she has. It's the God who is given all that she has. He gives all that to us so that we would use all of that for the glory of God. Brothers and sisters, we must not love the things of the world. 1 John chapter 2, verse 15 through 17, do not love the world or anything in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For everything in the world, the cravings of sinful men, the lust of his eyes, and boasting of what he has and does, comes not from the Father, but from the world. The world and its desires pass away, but the man who does the will of God lives forever. We must forsake all greed. We must trust our God. And this is not that simple to do. Even in the Bible, there are only a few people who live this way. We must forsake all greed. We must trust our God. Matthew 6, verse 31 and 32. So do not worry, saying, what shall we eat? What shall we drink? Or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. So this is our faith in our God. We already possess in Christ God and his kingdom as our eternal inheritance. Now, since the topic of offering comes up here, let me talk about it a little bit, because I don't get to talk about offerings that much. And I don't want to just talk about offerings for the sake of talk about offerings. But whenever the text that I'm preaching on talks about offering, I have to talk about it. The offerings, we give them to God. Period. It is not to show off to others. And I don't know why in some churches the people find out how much that rich person gave. Why do we need to know? No one has to know how much anyone is giving. I don't know how much you're giving. I never saw the numbers. And I don't want to, because I'm a sinful man too. So if I see you giving us a lot of money, then I might even be careful around you. Because what if I offend you and you don't come anymore? Because I know you give so much. I don't want to get into that kind of temptation. I don't want to know. That's business between you and your God. We have two people who count the money. I mean, somebody has to count the money. If money can be counted automatically without any person, that's how we're going to do it. But that's not how it is. Somebody has to count the money. So we have two people who count the money. Obviously, they know how much people give. And just in case that person gets sick, doesn't come to church, we have alternative, but that alternative guy doesn't get involved that much. Yeah, maybe once a year, maybe. Other than those two people and the alternative, nobody knows how much anybody gives. And hope that that's the case, I don't know, like somehow people can go there and kind of look. I don't know. But I don't want to be influenced by how much you give or how much you don't give. We give to God what belongs to God. We give back to God a little part of what God has given to us. God could just cause you to be born in a very poor family, in a very, very poor country, in a very, very poor place in that country. There's no opportunity whatsoever. God could cause you to be born like that. But he didn't. So don't ever think that it's your ability, your skills, that you are making whatever you're making. I could show you billions of people who work more than you, who work harder than you, and they don't make, you know, one-tenth of what you're making. There are billions of people like that. So don't say, oh, I work hard, as if other people don't work hard, and that's why they're not making much. What I'm trying to say is God gave you what you have. It was according to his will. So you need to understand that it's God, not you. And it all belongs to him. So, that's the first thing, that it all belongs to God. And we need to understand that everything that we have, even our lives, are already offered up to God in Jesus Christ. That's what being a Christian really means. That I belong to God already. I'm offered up to him already. So through the offering, we witness that reality. So don't ever think that if we do not give, then God cannot lead the church. The fact is, God does not need your money. If our church ever closes down in the future, don't ever think that it's because the people did not give money. God could just bring one person and just give at one time so many times more than we all put together. He could just do that anytime he wants. So it's not because you didn't give money that we have to close down. It's God's will that we have to close down. And if it is his will, then we do. And just because we're approaching that state, if we are, we're not going to change anything. Nothing has changed. But it is his pleasure to use our offerings in his work. Our offerings being used by God is our honor. And we give all the thanksgiving to him. He is pleased when we witness the reality in Jesus Christ that our lives are already offered up to God in him. And just because you gave the offerings, don't think that God owes you now anything. Just because you gave the offerings, don't think that God has to look you with his favor now. He does already in Jesus Christ. Only reason God is pleased with any of you is Jesus Christ. And according to the Bible, the Christian life is all about giving all to God. To be saved is to be this kind of people in Jesus Christ. And we must believe. We need to live this life because it is the life of Christ. From the widow, we see what kind of people we have become in Jesus Christ. But more importantly, from the widow, we see what our Lord has done for us. For us, he gave all he had. By us, even his life. He gave all of his life. And when we give the offerings with faith, we participate in his perfect offering of his life. If he did not give his life as the perfect sacrifice for our sins, then all our offerings are in vain. Why? Apart from Christ, whatever we might give to God, even if our offer, our lives to God, it is still in vain, because nothing, not even your life, be worthy for God to receive apart from Jesus Christ. Again, it's about you showing your heart to God. It's not that God needs you or your money. I'm just telling you the fact, the truth. What can I do? I have to tell you the truth. And if anyone of you think, oh, God doesn't need my money, then why am I giving? Well, then you just don't understand the gospel. Again, what can I do? Let me ask you a question. When Jesus himself gave himself for us, did he give out of his surplus? Did he do that? That it didn't cost him anything or just little. Was there any sacrifice when he gave his life for you? So did he give out of his surplus? Or did he give all, even his life? Was there a great sacrifice when he gives? Absolutely. Now, let me get into the principle of offering. I don't have much time, but let me do that. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 2 to 5. Out of the most severe trial, their overflowing joy and their extreme poverty welled up in rich generosity. When I read that kind of verse, it's just amazing to me. How can these words belong to one sentence? Extreme poverty and rich generosity. How can this be in one sentence? Out of the most severe trial, their overflowing joy and their extreme poverty welled up in rich generosity. For I testify that they gave as much as they were able, and even beyond their ability, entirely on their own. They urgently pleaded with us for the privilege of sharing in this service to the saints. And they did not do as we expected, but gave themselves first to the Lord, and then to us in keeping with God's will. See, they did this to participate in the life of Christ. And here's the principle of Christian offering. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 9. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, so that you through his poverty might become rich. This is the biblical principle of the offerings. The rich gives so that the poor will have enough. And we're not talking about communism, because communism, you are forced to do this. In Christianity, you're not forced. You do it because that's what you love to do, because of the work of Christ in your heart. If we all do this, then no one in the church will lack it. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, again same chapter, verse 13 through 15. Our desire is not that others might be relieved while you are hard-pressed, but that there might be equality. At the present time, your plenty will supply what they need, so that in turn, their plenty will supply what you need. Then there will be equality. As it is written, he who gathered much did not have too much, and he who gathered little did not have too little. As Paul is speaking about the offerings, and all of a sudden he speaks of manna during the Exodus. As you know, manna, food that came down from heaven, the family with many people gather a lot, and family with a few people gather a little. But ultimately, he who gathered much did not have too much, and he who gathered little did not have too little. No one was lacking. We are to witness the equality of heaven. And equality of heaven is not the same as equality of this world. It's just that heavenly reality in which no one is lacking. And by giving the offerings for this purpose, we are imitating Jesus Christ, because we already read it, the gospel. Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, so that you, through his poverty, might become rich. So even as you give a lot, so that the poor can have those, so that no one is lacking, you're living out the gospel itself. Because that's exactly what gospel is all about. Jesus, who was rich, became poor. So through his poverty, the poor, you and me, became rich. But the fact is, in our church, we cannot do too much of that. Because there's a certain set amount that has to go out every month. And after that, we have to try to do this kind of stuff. And we do. Thank God that we are able to help people. And when you do need help, like truly need help, please tell us. This is church's duty. God commands us to do this. It's not to show off how much you have or how rich our church is, but it is to obey what God has commanded us to do. Understand, all this come down to this. How much do you love your Jesus Christ? Jesus asked John, and he is asking us. John chapter 21, verse 15. When they had finished eating, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of John, do you truly love me more than these? And he's asking us the same question. Do you truly love me, Jesus said. The widow gave out of her poverty. This is true giving. Because for us, if we're poor, if we don't have much, you don't even think about giving. And yet, here's that poor widow. Just gave everything she had. This is why this story is in the Bible. My story, your story, I don't think it will be in the Bible. But when you see her give everything she has, do you see in her, in our passage, her sufficiency? Do you see it? She actually believes what God has promised her. Don't worry about what to eat, what to wear, what to drink. All will be provided. But I don't believe it. You don't believe it. Because we worry. I worry. You worry. I mean, if you truly believe that he's going to give whatever I need, why would we worry about it? She actually has way more than all of us. And she actually gave way more than all of us. She understands what God has is hers. Now, at the conclusion, I will let you know that God is not telling you to sell everything and give it to the church. That's not what this passage is about. Oh, please don't do that. Then we need to, like, help you then after you do all that. But I want you to see the sufficiency of this widow, the abundant possession that she has. She knows God knows what she needs and that God calls her to not to worry about what to eat, what to drink, and what to wear. God wants her to trust God and live a joyous life in Jesus Christ, and she believes and she gives all to obey him. We live trusting our God to give us all that we need. All that we need is already given to us. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not be in lack. The Apostle Paul, living in a prison, writes in a jail. Philippians chapter 4, verse 11 and 12. I'm not saying this because I am in need, for I have learned to be content, whatever the circumstances. I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to be, it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want, meaning lack. He learned the secret of being content, being consistent, no matter what the circumstances he might face. And I thank God that he said it like that. He learned, which means we could learn it too. We could see how the widow is different from the rich young ruler we met in Mark chapter 10, verse 21 and 22. Jesus looked at him and loved this rich young ruler. One thing you lack, he said, go sell everything you have and give it to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come and follow me. At this, the man's face fell, and he went away sad because he had great wealth. See how different he is from this widow? But according to the world, who has more? This rich young ruler, and yet he doesn't have much. Because look at his life. And here's a poor widow, and she has everything. She has everything that she could give everything. Because she knows that even after giving all, she already has all in Christ. Let me end. God is not telling you to sell all you have and give it to the church. And I, like I said, please don't do that. What God is telling us is that with all that we have, in the family, in the society, and in the church, witness the reality that you already have all that is needed, and that you are already offered up to God. Let me explain this so that you could understand more clearly. Of course, you need to give offerings in the church. But what this passage is saying is that with everything you have, you use it for God and His glory. That's what it's saying. Give all to God. Now, God is not just telling you to give offerings in the church. But God also tells you to be a good father, for example. He does, right? He says for you to be a good father. So in order for you to be a good father, you need to provide an adequate place to live so that your children can live without fear. What if your children, they just like so much in fear because as soon as they open the door, they hear the bullets going off? So as a father, you need to provide adequate, safe place. So you seek out, you know, good neighborhood, and you buy a house so that your kids can live a comfortable life, as they should. So you spend money to buy that kind of house in that kind of neighborhood. It's being a good father. And using your money in that is also using your money for God, because that's what God wants you to do. But use all you have for Him, not for your evil desires or sinful desires or worldly desires. And in order for you to be a good father, you don't have to buy a house in a Beverly Hills. You know, that's not what God is saying. That is just to show off how much money you have. But that's what some people, you know, the boasting, proud of life. Pride of boasting in life. Man, I'm getting confused. It's just to show other people so that you could put it on your Instagram or something. Show your house so that people will be just so astonished. Oh, man, that person made it. This is not how Christians live. It's not to show up. And if there's any chance that you might offend Christian brothers who is of less faith because of what you're doing, you cause that brother to sin because of you. Don't take chances. It's not worth it. You don't have to show. I don't need to see any of that. Why do I need to see all that? Please, brothers and sisters, live as a Christian. Do not follow the patterns of the world. I thank God that I'm already 62. Because I'm old enough and, you know, my life will not be affected too much if I don't have any of those Instagram or whatever. That's the only thing I could think of. I don't have any of it. And I don't need it because I'm too old already. Man, if I'm 20 right now, man, that would be hard, right? Without having those things. I'm so happy then I'm old. That I don't need to get involved in these stupid things. Think about it. Even if I'm doing those things to show other people what our church is about, you know, our church will have many problems, but I will never take a picture of us having problems and put it up there. I will put those pictures that show how much fun we have as a church, as if that's all is happening in our church. Even there, it's just showing off. So that they could look at those pictures and, well, I want to join that church and look at all those things they're doing. That's not how you join the church. If it is not about Christ, it's all in vain. That's what we're talking about. This passage is giving everything to God. In every area of your life, wherever you are, you give all to God. That's what this passage is talking about. And sometimes you gotta buy a decent house. Well, go buy it. Sometimes you gotta buy good cars so that your business, you know, need that kind of car, then go buy it. So you make more money so that you could use that money for the glory of God. But whatever you do, do it for His glory. Not any other reason. With all you have, in your family, in your society, in the church, witness the reality that you and all you have are already offered up to God. We must judge all things and see all things according to God's perspective, not according to worldly perspective. Our plenty will supply what the others need, so that in turn their plenty in the future will supply what we need when we are in that situation in the future. So to witness the equality of heaven where there is no one lacking. So brothers and sisters, let us live our lives enjoying the complete satisfaction of heaven in Jesus Christ. No one will lack. I trust my God because He tells me not to worry about what to eat, what to wear, what to drink. I trust Him. And in the last 62 years, He never failed me yet. And I don't think He will fail me in the future. But of course, I'm a sinner too. That's why I avoid, especially on the Lord's Day. That's why I don't watch TV, because those commercials will make me wanting those products. I don't like it. I don't want to be controlled by that kind of stuff. Especially on the Lord's Day, because I'm called to focus on God. It's so easy to be tempted now because you carry those devices everywhere you go. And you just look at it and you want to say, oh, I want to have that. It causes you to not be satisfied with whatever you have already. You're constantly wanting more. And that stupid device makes you that way. You know, I'm so out of date. I might not be able to convince you. But all this developing technology, it could be used in good things, but brothers and sisters, you must understand it could make you sin too. And you need to be careful because we are to give all we have to God to glorify Him. That's the purpose. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you. We see your son's picture in the widow, how he gave everything he has, even his life, for us. And we also see who we have become, how we give everything we have, even our lives, to you, our God. And that is so obvious because we are in Christ. His life is also our life. So it is so natural for us to see both Christ's picture and our picture. And we thank you that you show that picture to us through your word, so that we know how we ought to live. Let us give all we have to you. Let us use them for your glory. We thank you and we love you. Pray all this in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Let us